Chapter 9.
Carter's going on a booty call,
Ada sang playfully. Leah said she wants advice about her discovery, I explained as I rolled my eyes. That's all.
But alone?
Janine said with a smirk.
In her dorm room? Without Ada or I or any of her friends? Come on now. Even I know what she's trying to get at.
I don't think she likes me that way. But I guess we'll see what happens.
Just be careful, love. Your werepanther seed is quite strong. So if you paint the walls of her womb white with your baby batter, she's going to be popping out a Carter Jr. in 40 weeks. Are you still on that? It's the 21st century. We have ways to prevent that sort of thing. Not with a werepanther, you don't.
The succubus shrugged.
Just wait and see.
Nothing's going to happen. Now, before I go, you guys are all good here, right?
Golden,
Ada said, as she shot me an okay symbol with her hand.
There's plenty of meetings that need to be set up, invoices to be filed, envelopes that need to be stuffed. And the fact there's a giant frogman out there who wants to kill Carter,
Janine said with a frown.
And by proxy wants to kill us, too. Orglin isn't a frog, love. He's more of a... Well, it's hard to explain. You'll know if we actually run into him.
Just be careful while I'm gone. I'll try to get back as soon as I can. I started to walk toward the door, but Janine let out a whistle to stop me.
Don't you need my keys?
I'm taking one of the Hummers. I shook my head. It'll be less conspicuous that way.
I don't think the word inconspicuous and Hummer belong in the same sentence, but okay.
We'll see, I said with a wink. Besides, you guys may want to use the Pontiac while I'm gone. I bade farewell to the two beautiful women and headed to the back door of the lounge. Then I pressed on the metal handlebar, popped it open, and waltzed out into the employee parking lot like I owned the place. I did. But still. Naturally, there weren't many cars out here right now. Janine's Pontiac sat in the closest parking space to the door, and then there was a small caravan of yellow Hummers that had belonged to Div's former security detail. Normally, Paul and Tony's cars would be out here, but they were gone for the day. I pulled the Hummer keys from my pocket, clicked the lock button a few times, and then located the vehicle this set belonged to. Once I was up in the massive vehicle, I shoved the keys into the ignition and listened to the beast roar to life. Then I adjusted the radio until I found a station I liked, and I shot a text to Leah before I kicked the Hummer into gear and pulled out of the parking lot. By this point, the drive to UC from my lounge was practically on autopilot. I hummed along with the classic rock tunes on the radio as I drove, and before long, I found myself pulling into one of the many visitor lots on campus. I parked the vehicle, paid the parking fee, and then proceeded to Dabney Hall. As I walked up to the residence hall, it dawned on me that I'd never actually been inside it before. I knew plenty of people from my previous classes who lived here, but I'd never really had any reason to go inside. The small gray building only stretched up 5 floors, with several double windows dotted with AC units. The courtyard of the building was bustling as a group of guys hit a ball back and forth on the volleyball court, and several students mulled about at the outdoor community tables. As I approached the large glass door of the structure, I noticed the color of the building was obviously a coat of paint over some really, really old bricks. I'd always heard jokes about how the residents of this place were just waiting for it to crumble, and now that I saw it up close, I saw what they meant. I walked into the main lobby of the building, where I was greeted by an RA at the front desk.
Howdy!
The thin, lanky student with Harry Potter glasses walked out and smiled.
Hey, what can I help you with?
I'm just visiting. I nodded. Do you know where?
Holy shit!
A nasally voice called out from across the lobby.
Is that Carter Hatfield in Dabney Hall? We all thought you were dead, bro!
Son of a bitch. I recognized that voice. The douche canoe, Toby. Sure enough, when I turned, I saw him in all his glory. The guy's red beard was unkempt, as were the long frat boy blonde locks on his head. He wore a shit-eating grin as he approached, all while wearing black athletic shorts, a simple UC tank top, and fucking white socks with Nike sandals.
Hey, Toby,
I said in the nicest tone possible.
What's up, you old horn dog?
Toby teased, and then he let out a sound like a yipping dog.
Yeah, Janine Beckett doesn't live here, you know.
I know, Toby, I said with a roll of my eyes. As I was just telling the RA here, I'm visiting one of the residents of Dabney.
So, you've met my boy Gaten here.
Toby said, as he threw his arm around the RA.
Aiden,
the lanky student frowned.
As your RA, I'm going to have to really ask you to stop calling me that.
Lighten up, bro! It's a term of endearment.
As much as I'd love to stay in chat, I lied, I really got to get going. It's kind of important.
Damn!
Toby said with a whistle, and then he punched Aiden in the shoulder.
Carter here really can't wait to get to Pound Town.
Now would be a good time to remind you sexual acts are not...
Aiden began, but Toby cut him off.
If sexual acts aren't allowed, then why are you always jerking it in the shower? That shit clogs the drain, you know.
Aiden's face turned pure white, and he shook his head. Meanwhile, I simply pointed to the elevators. I'm just gonna... I began as I stepped away. But then Toby's hand grabbed my shoulder.
Where you going, man?
Toby asked as his eyes narrowed.
You're not getting out of here until you tell me who you're going to raw dog.
Nobody. Now, let go of me. Toby's eyes grew wide, and a douchey smile twisted up his face as he looked over at Aiden.
You hear that? Hatfield banged some stuck-up nerdy bitch once, and now he thinks he's all hot shit.
A bit of rage boiled under my skin, and it took everything in my power to keep from literally biting this douchebag's head off. Don't call her that, I said through gritted teeth. Don't you ever, ever call Janine that.
What?
Toby tilted his head and bugged his eyes out.
A bitch?
Seriously, man, I warned as my hand clenched into a fist.
Didn't you drop out? What kind of loser drops out of college and then still hangs around the campus just to bang the chicks?
Breathe, Carter. I could have easily ripped this fucker's head off his spine without even breaking a sweat, but I had to keep reminding myself it wasn't worth it. I needed to keep my secret, no matter how pissed off this guy made me. Yeah, I did. Now, are we done here?
I don't know.
Toby's eyes narrowed as he leaned forward.
Are we?
Guys, Aiden sputtered, there's no need to...
Depends, I said with a shrug. Are you going to call my girlfriend a bitch again?
Depends. Is she going to stop acting like one?
My vision turned white as rage overtook my body. This fucker had crossed the line, and I was going to make him pay. Without another word, I stepped forward and slugged Toby right in the face. I tried to hold back, but there was still the sound of something cracking when my fist connected with his nose. Toby fell back flat on his ass and then let out a yelp as he covered his nose. Blood poured out from behind his hands as he groaned in pain, and his eyes widened with both surprise and rage.
Are you going to call her a bitch again?
I repeated as I crouched down and looked at the douche right in his pale blue eyes.
Fuck you, Hatfield!
The frat boy's muffled voice spat.
You broke my fucking nose, Aiden! Aren't you gonna call security or some shit?
What?
Aiden raised an eyebrow.
Why would I need to call them? You tripped and slammed your nose into the desk.
Oh, fuck you too!
Toby growled as he stood back up.
Oh, some fucking RA you are, Gaiden!
You should probably get that checked out by the nurse, I said with a smug grin. I don't think that'll heal without being reset.
Oh, you are both dead!
Toby warned as he ran to the door.
Oh, your life is going to be hell from now on, Carter Hatfield!
Ooh, I was so scared.
Blood ran down the frat boy's face as he pushed open the door and scurried off into the distance. Sorry, I said as I looked at Aiden. I lost my cool there for a second.
Anyone who can stand up to Toby is good in my book.
The RA smiled,
even though he fell.
Right, I nodded. He totally fell.
Honestly, I don't even care what you're here for. Go on up.
Thanks, I said, as I began toward the elevator. Oh, and if that idiot ever gives you more trouble, just let me know. Maybe next time his fall will break more than his nose. Aiden shot me a thumbs up, and then he sauntered back into his office. I pressed the call button on the elevator, which sounded like a screeching banshee when it lowered itself down to the first floor. The rusty brown doors opened up to reveal a tiny carpeted elevator whose tan paint was peeling off the walls, and I stepped inside. After I pressed the button for floor 2, the doors closed, and the lift mechanism made a god-awful noise as it lifted itself upwards. Honestly, I was more scared of this thing than I was those muck dwellers. I jumped out of the elevator the second it opened, and then I stepped out into the hallway. A few other students passed me by as I pulled out my phone, found Leah's number, and then sent her a simple text that said I was there. Not 30 seconds later, I heard a door creak open all the way down the hall. The blonde woman stepped out of her room and held her hand high, and she waved wildly to get my attention. I smiled as I waved back, and then I waltzed down to meet her. As I got closer, I saw Leah had changed clothes. Now she was wearing a simple pair of gray yoga pants that hugged her bottom half so tightly it looked like a second skin. On her upper body, the bombshell wore nothing but a thin white tank top and a dark bra whose outline appeared clearly underneath.
What took you so long?
Leah teased once I was in earshot. I had a run-in with Toby.
Fuck, I'm sorry.
She said, as her face fell.
I hope he wasn't too much of a douchebag.
He was. I shook my head. He definitely was, but I got past him, and now I'm here with you. That makes me feel a million times better.
Does it now?
Leah raised a blonde eyebrow and placed a hand on her hip.
What makes you think I brought you up here to tell you good news?
My heart hammered in my chest at the sultry look she gave me, and my loins started to tingle as a blush crept up into my cheeks. I don't, I admitted with a shrug. But I figured it must be important if you wanted to tell me in person.
Step into my office.
Leah opened the door and motioned for me to enter her abode. As I entered the dorm room, my nostrils were assaulted by the sweet fragrance of incense. Oh, what is that? I asked as I crinkled my nose. Sage?
I'm not trying to ward off demons. It's lavender, actually. It helps me focus when I'm trying to study.
The decor of the room was pretty much what I'd expect from a semi-sophisticated college woman. There was a simple raised bed in the top right corner of the room, with storage boxes stashed underneath. A janky-looking window with an AC unit was on the wall right next to the bed, and then there was a small, dark brown wooden desk with a MacBook on top. A cheap-looking dresser sat on the other side of the bed, and a black mini-fridge took up the opposite corner. Edison bulb string lights were hung all across the ceiling of the room to give it a sort of glowing ambiance, and the walls were covered with various posters and photographs. One of the walls was full of clothespins that held photos of Leah and her two best friends, Becca and Valerie. And opposite that was a series of posters, including a retro-looking chart of amphibious creatures, another of insects, and then one of the famous Albert Einstein photo where he's sticking out his tongue. This is a really nice room, I said as I looked around.
Stop lying.
Leah chuckled and rolled her eyes.
It's a dorm room. I've just made it kind of livable.
I noticed there's no second bed. No roommate?
Nope.
The blonde woman said, as she pulled out the rolling chair from behind her desk and offered it to me.
She struggled with her classes, so she eventually dropped out. And it was so late in the semester that they didn't even bother trying to pair me up with someone else.
Nice. I nodded as I sat down in the chair. Sometimes it's good to be alone. Leah walked over to her bed and then plopped her ass down onto it. Her feet dangled back and forth as she smiled at me, and I felt my heart skip a beat.
Is it, though? You're always around Janine and Ada. How the hell did you even meet Ada, anyways? I feel like that's a story I'd like to hear.
And maybe I'll tell it to you someday. I shrugged.
Ooh, it's something sexual, isn't it?
What? No.
It's okay if it is. You're a popular man with his own nightclub and all. Of course you're going to be a magnet for attractive women.
A lounge? I corrected with a grin. Our marketing department is very distinct in our branding, Leah. We are a lounge, not a nightclub.
Oh, excuse me.
Leah held up her hands and laughed.
I didn't even know you had a marketing department.
You're looking at him. I kind of wear a fuck ton of hats at this job.
Ugh, no wonder you decided to leave UC.
The blonde woman whistled.
It sounds like you don't even have enough time to think.
It's not too bad. Especially when I've got Ada and Janine at my side.
And me. Plus, Becca and Valerie said they'd help out in any way they could, too. After what you did for us at that club, we owe you one.
The pleasure was all mine, I said with a warm smile. But, well, we're getting sidetracked. What did you want to tell me?
Well,
the blonde woman began, and her face grew dead serious.
When I went back to put the specimen back in the lab freezer, I ran into Dr. Feinstein.
She must have been over the moon to hear about your discovery.
She wasn't.
Leah frowned and shook her head.
I told her everything. I told her about how that guy had found it in the lake, and then about the strange cellular properties this specimen had, as well as all the experiments we performed on it.
Okay. What was the problem then?
Then I told her about having you and Janine along for the tests, and how we took the specimen to Dr. Hansen.
I frowned. They really don't like him around here, do they?
They really don't.
Leah said with a dry chuckle.
At first, she thought I was kidding, but when I insisted I was being serious, she kind of got mad.
Mad? What the fuck was there for her to be mad about? You discovered a whole new species of animal.
She doesn't think so.
Leah shook her head.
Dr. Feinstein thinks that loon Hansen got into my head, and it's probably just the scales of a bass or something like that.
Scales of a fucking bass? We watched it regrow itself underwater. I've never seen a fish do that before.
We didn't record it, though. So Feinstein didn't believe it.
Can't you just show her? Like, toss it in the water and let her watch for herself? I wanted to tell Leah I'd actually encountered the muck dwellers and that there were a bunch of specimens back at the lounge just begging to be picked up. However, if I did that, I'd have to get into the whole werepanther thing, and that wasn't a conversation I was sure I wanted to have just yet.
Our relationship isn't like that,
the woman explained as sadness filled her blue eyes.
I'm only a lowly undergraduate lab assistant, and she's a highly respected doctor of biology with dozens of published research papers.
So what? What does one person's reputation have to do with your own personal research?
She controls the purse strings, Carter. If she says I need to shut this project down, then I need to shut it down. Otherwise, I'll never be allowed access to any of the department's resources again.
What a fucking bitch. What gives her the right to stomp on the little guy like that?
Ugh, the same thing that makes anyone stomp on the little guy?
The blonde woman said with another sad sigh.
Power and money.
So what? She wants you to just throw the specimen away and never touch it again?
Pretty much. Her exact words were, you should toss it back into the lake where it belongs. Then she went on a really long lecture about how I shouldn't go to Dr. Hansen with anything since he's a quote-unquote nut job.
Fuck, this woman sounds terrible.
She really is. But that's what I wanted to talk to you about, Carter.
You want to still move ahead with the research? I nodded. Even though Feinstein disapproves.
Exactly.
The blonde woman said with a frown.
I could probably get away with sneaking the specimen around and doing my tests in secret while I write the paper. The only thing I'd have to worry about would be if one of the other students rats me out, but I don't think that'll happen.
So what's stopping you then?
Well, eventually my study would come out. When that happens, it'd be really hard to keep it a secret anymore. Feinstein would be furious. Like, I may never get access to the lab or any of those resources again.
If you publish your magnum opus, then why does that matter? You'll be way more famous than anyone I know, for sure. I mean, shit, how many people can say they've found proof of a new species?
Not many,
Leah said with a wistful look, but then she shook her head.
But that's the thing, Carter. I'm not sure people will believe me anyway. I mean, this is the equivalent of coming forward with biological evidence of the Loch Ness Monster. Sure, I may have something viable, but chances are I'll get laughed out of the room before they even take a chance and read my work. Then what happens? I'm a laughingstock, my reputation is ruined, and I have no funding to gain it back? It's a huge risk.
There was a voice in the back of my mind, just screaming for me to tell Leah about the muck dweller corpses back at the lounge. But against my better judgment, I kept my mouth shut. No, it's not a risk, because your work is top fucking notch.
No, you're just being sweet.
Leah giggled and tucked a lock of blonde hair behind her ear.
It's not that great.
Sure it is. We stood there and watched you do it. You were super thorough with everything. Sure, you're going to have naysayers out there, but I think your work can easily speak for itself.
It's just, this has been a dream of mine. I remember sitting in elementary school watching those eyewitness tapes in biology class, thinking about how amazing it would have been to discover one of those creatures in the video.
Huh. Meanwhile, I just got pumped whenever my teacher busted out Bill Nye the Science Guy.
That's a good one, too. You know he only has a degree in mechanical engineering, though, right?
That's a science, isn't it? I shrugged. But I guess if you don't think he's got the credentials, maybe you can go ahead and make something better. Maybe like a kid's show called Leah Nash's Science Bash.
That's good.
Leah smirked.
I could never do that, though. I hate being in front of a camera.
Why? You're freaking beautiful. Leah's lips pursed together, and she looked up at me from underneath golden lashes. Her blue eyes glowed under the lights of her dorm room, though they were now so radiant they shone like stars.
You think?
Leah asked with a shy smile. I know, I said as I leaned forward in my chair. Anybody can see. Before I finished my sentence, Leah jumped off the bed and strutted toward me. Then she put her hands around my cheeks, leaned up, and pressed her soft lips against my own. My heart skipped a beat as we began to kiss passionately, and we made out for a solid minute before the blonde woman pulled herself away.
I'm sorry,
she gulped as her face turned beet red.
I know you're with Janine, but I just got caught up in the moment.
It's all right. Janine doesn't care. Neither does Ada.
They don't?
She blinked. They were pretty happy I was coming over to see you. It's kind of, they don't mind.
Sharing you?
Leah whispered as she bit her lip and relief glinted in her blue eyes. Yeah, I said with a sly grin. Plenty of me to go around, or something like that.
We'll see about that.
Leah purred, and then she reached down and grabbed the bottom of her shirt. Damn, Ada was right. This was a booty call, and the panther inside of me was already growling with hunger.